إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أحسن الكلام كلام الله جل وعلا، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلال في النار. ثم أما بعد، welcome all of you once again. We continue reading من الملخص في شرح كتاب التوحيد لفضيلة الشيخ الوالد الدكتور صالح الفوزان حفظه الله تعالى. Chapter number 5 in كتاب التوحيد لفضيلة الإمام المجدد شيخ الإسلام محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله تعالى. باب الدعاء إلى شهادة أن لا إله إلا الله. الدعاء يعني دعوة الناس إلى التوحيد. This chapter here, that al-Imam Sheikh al-Islam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab has introduced in his book Kitab al-Tawheed, الدعاء إلى شهادة أن لا إله إلا الله, mean دعوة, calling the people to التوحيد, calling the people to التوحيد. وقول الله تعالى قل هذه سبيلي أدعو إلى الله على بصيرة أنا ومن اتبعني سبحان الله وما أنا من المشركين. And then he mentioned the ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Yusuf, verse 108, say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is my way, I invite unto Allah, to the oneness of Allah, to the Tawheed, invite the people, the Islamic monotheism, with sure knowledge, I and whosoever follows me, meaning also must invite others to Allah, to the oneness of Allah, to Islamic monotheism, with sure knowledge. And glorified and exalted is Allah above all that they associate as partners with Him, and I am not of the polytheists. And also beside this ayah, 108, the Shaykh Muhammad Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah brought two narrations. Hadith of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, and also the hadith of Sahr ibn Sa'd radiallahu anhu. So in total, the Shaykh, he mentioned three proofs in this chapter: the ayah 108 in Surah Yusuf, and two narrations. Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan, hafidhahu Allah ta'ala, began, as usual, by giving us munasabatu hadha al-bab li kitab al-tawheed, the relevance of this chapter to kitab al-tawheed. In other terms, why Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahu ta'ala introduce this chapter in this book, Kitab al-Tawheed. قال أن المصنف رحمه الله لما ذكر في الأبواب السابقة التوحيد وفضله وما يوجب الخوف من ضده ذكر في هذا الباب أنه لا ينبغي لمن عرف ذلك أن يقتصر على نفسه، بل يجب عليه أن يدعو إلى الله تعالى بالحكمة والموعظة الحسنة كما هو سبيل المرسلين وأتباعهم. شيخ صالح الفوزان حفظه الله says sense المصنف. المصنف here meaning the author. And the author of Kitab al-Tawheed is Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah. He says, since the author rahimahullah had mentioned in the previous chapters Tawheed, because remember in the first chapter the obligation of Tawheed, it's obligatory to be upon Tawheed, upon Islamic monotheism. And he mentioned then he follow up with the virtues of Tawheed, the superiority of Tawheed, and how the Tawheed wipes out the sins. And whoever fulfilled the Tawheed will enter al-Jannah without reckoning, and without punishment, and without punishment. Whoever fulfilled the Tawheed will enter Al-Jannah without reckoning nor punishment. قال ف وكذلك ذكر ما يوجب الخوف منه من ضده من ضد التوحيد. Likewise, the Shaykh has mentioned the things that make a person be afraid of a tawheed, of that which oppose the tawheed and nullify the tawheed. So once again we say that the Shaykh has mentioned, since the Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad Abdul Wahhab rahimahu ta'ala has mentioned the tawheed and the virtue and superiority of tawheed, and that which make you fear for yourself, meaning the opposite of tawheed, shirk and the like. ذكر في هذا الباب أنه لا ينبغي لمن عرف ذلك أن يقتصر على نفسه. So now in this chapter he says, so therefore, for the one who knows all these things, he knows the obligations of tawheed, he knows the superiority of tawheed, the virtues of tawheed, the fruits of tawheed, and likewise he knows the opposites of tawheed, then a person should not just act upon Tawheed by himself and forget about others. بل يجب عليه أن يدعو إلى الله تعالى بالحكمة والموعظة الحسنة كما هو سبيل المرسلين وأتباعهم. Rather, it is incumbent upon that person who learned the Tawheed and act upon it, and he knows the benefits of it, and he knows that if he fall into its opposite, he knows the danger. Now it is incumbent on such person to call others to the Tawheed, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by following hikmah, wisdom, maw'id al-hasana, good preaching with admonitions, as this is the way, the Shaykh says, of the messengers and those who follow their path. قال الشيخ رحمه الله أو حفظه الله تعالى في المعنى الإجمالي للآية. قال الشيخ صالح الفوزان حفظه الله: يأمر الله رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم أن يخبر الناس عن طريقته وسنته، أنها الدعوة إلى شهادة أن لا إله إلا الله على علم ويقين وبرهان. In this verse in Surah Yusuf, قل هذه سبيلي أدعو إلى الله, the Shaykh says that Allah is commanding his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam to inform the people, to inform the people about his way, in calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanding the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to inform the people about the ways that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam called the people to Islam, to la ilaha illallah, called the people to la ilaha illallah, to tawheed, upon sure knowledge, certainty, clear evidence. Da'wah is not just anybody, da'wah, talk. You're going to know what you call to, where you start, what are the priorities. And before you call, you got sure knowledge. Sure knowledge. Person should learn. And with certainty. Not like, I think this, I'm not sure, akhi, but... What do you mean? Giving doubts to the people in the religion? I'm not sure, but you know, maybe I'm not sure, but... No, if you're not sure, don't speak. Go review it. And with clear evidences. And that's what may distinct between the da'wah of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah who and the da'wat and the different calls of Hizbiyyah and Sufiyyah and Mubtadi'ah and the like. And we should learn from this. Somebody has knowledge, yes, he can convey it. He don't have it, he said Allahu A'lam. It is from knowledge to say Allahu A'lam. You don't have to say anything. Do you have to say something? Yes, if you know what you say it. If you know something, you gotta say it. Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas. You were the best ummah brought forth for mankind. How? Ta'muruna bil ma'roof wa tanhawna 'anil munkar. Because he command good and forbid evil. Hamukallah. وكل من اتبعه يدعو إلى ما يدعو إليه على علم ويقين وبرهان. شيخ صالح الفوزان حفظه الله تعالى says likewise, anyone who followed the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم should call upon knowledge, sure knowledge, not just informations, certain, when with certainty and with clear proofs and evidences. Here, pay attention, يا أخوان. Look at the way of the ulama. They bring you a chapter and they bring you the proofs with it. They don't just talk to you. If they just talk, mashallah, that's still good. If they're now, you have to be upon tawheed and do it this way. But they bring the proofs. And this is for us, that helps us a lot. Because now if you want to talk to somebody about any issue, and if you don't have no proof to support what you're saying, then it's always going to be your statement against his. So the person is going to tell you, why should I follow you, akhi? See, now he said, why should I follow you? But if you tell the people, qala Allah, Allah said, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, qala sahaba, the companions, they did it this way. Now you think that person is going to tell you, why are you telling me these things? Because if he rejects what you're saying, he's rejecting the Quran, rejecting the Sunnah. It's very important, before we talk to the people, we have to do it the way that the ulama, they teach us to do it. Even though you're right, you're going to go talk to somebody, but you are not supporting what you're saying with the Kalamullah, with Kalamul Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, people, they are always going to say to you, why should I believe you? But if you tell them, قَالَ اللَّهِ قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ, that's all you have to say. قَالَ وَأَنَّهُ هُوَ وَأَتْبَعُهُ يُنَزِّهُونَ اللَّهَ عَنِ الشَّرِيكِ لَهُ فِي مُلْكِهِ وَعَنِ الشَّرِيكِ لَهُ فِي عِبَادَتِهِ وَيَتَبَرَّأُ مِمَّنْ أَشْرَكَ بِهِ وَإِنْ كَانَ أَقْرَبَ قَرِيبٌ. Likewise, that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم and his followers, whoever followed the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم in exact ways, they glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they make sure that the people know that Allah has no partners whatsoever in his dominion. And Allah is in no need for partners. So therefore, no one deserves to be worshipped except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that you free yourself from those who associate partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if they may be very close to you. Your parents, your family members. You free yourself from them. And to free yourself from them, you gotta understand it correctly, as the ulama, they says, it's in bab al-wala wal-bara. Meaning that you do not compromise your religion and your belief. And you do not engage in the shirk that they do. Free yourself from them doesn't mean boycott your mother, father, if they are still upon shirk. And that, or your brothers, and then that she don't talk to them or disrespect them. La. You free yourself, meaning from their way, from their aqidah, from their belief. You don't compromise. If they are doing something that is shirk, you don't just say, well, that's my mother, I'm just going to do it with her. No, you don't. You take your mother to the store. You take her for a walk. Take care of her. Give her a hug. Kiss her head. Be nice to her, even if she's not a Muslim. Never disrespect her. But you don't go with her in the church. You don't sit there and read and study Bible. You're in a study Bible class with her. No, you don't do those things. La. After this, the Shaykh says, Munasabatul Ayah lil Bab. He gives us the reason why Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala introduced this verse 108 in Surah Yusuf into this chapter. قال أن الله ذكر فيها طريقة الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم وأتباعه. He says he chose this ayah. Remember, who remind us what was the title of this chapter? نعم. أي نعم نعم الدعوة إلى التوحيد إلى لا إله إلا الله. Calling others to لا إله إلا الله, meaning to Islamic monotheism. He said, so Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad Abdul Wahhab رحمه وتعالى chose this ayah because in it Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us the way that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his followers should follow in calling to لا إله إلا الله. طريقة الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم وطريقة أتباعه في الدعوة إلى شهادة إلى الله على علم بما يدعون إليها. And that way is that they call to Allah, they call to Tawheed, to لا إله إلا الله upon sure knowledge. That which they call to? Knowledge. You don't have to be a great scholar, Shaykh al-Islam, to call to call somebody or to talk to somebody about the deen. That's why he says you have to have knowledge about what you're talking about. You want to talk about something about alhamdulillah. You got to make sure you know that issue. And why are you giving the da'wah? Or you calling a person? Because sometimes some people you talk to them, they accept what you say, alhamdulillah. I don't give you no hardship, they know nothing. Some people they ask you, but just questions to learn. They tell you, alhamdulillah, they're with you on the same path. They're with you. But they just want to like a little bit more clarity. If you know, mashallah, you tell them. If you don't, you tell them, oh, mashallah, jazakallah khair, I get back with you. Sometimes people, they just want to give you a hard time. Now you're talking in the east, they take you to the west. You're talking on a subject, they want to jump and take you to another controversial matter. So don't just sit there and argue and debate. No, you got to talk about knowledge. If you tell somebody, listen, akhi, Allah says, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, and this is what the companions they were upon, if somebody want to take you somewhere else, well, guess what? لسه لسه لسه. بارك الله فيك، جزاك الله خير أخي. I told you what Allah says. Go check Tafsir Ibn Kathir. This hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim. There is Tafsir al-Bukhari, Fath al-Bari. Go ask the Imam of the Masjid, inshallah. If that Imam is Salafi, you know, it's not Hizbi, he sent him to a Sufi. No, you don't tell a person, you met him in a coffee shop, and tell him, go to your Imam and ask him. And you know his Imam is Sufi, Muhtariq. No, you don't send people to destruction. If you know that brother go to a masjid, that the masjid, the imam is Salafi, alhamdulillah, upon the sunnah, have some knowledge. Now you tell him, well, you can ask the imam of your masjid, inshallah. But if you don't know the imam, don't just send the people to someone you don't even know who is. And it's worse if you know that imam is a Sufi, Jahil, Hizbi, Khurafi. No, you don't send the people, don't tell him. You should tell him, don't take anything from that man. Because of this and this and this. قال ففيها وجوب الدعوة إلى شهادة أن لا إله إلا الله الذي هو موضوع الباب. So in summary, the Sheikh says this ayah contains the obligations of calling to لا إله إلا الله, calling others to Tawheed, to لا إله إلا الله, which is, this is the subject matter of this chapter. ما يستفاد من الآية. We'll listen to you, inshallah ta'ala. What is some of the benefits that you gain from the verse? What is some of the benefits that we gain from the verse? Now.
You have to have knowledge before calling the people to the da'wah.
Ay, na. Should have knowledge before you call people to that which you're calling them to. Now.
But the knowledge that you have to be certain of the knowledge.
Ahsant. Na'am. And also certain. Certainty. You have sure knowledge. As for somebody go to somebody, want to talk to him, and he's like, I don't know, I read it somewhere. I don't know if I, subhanAllah, hold on. I don't know if I heard it in a CD. That's a doubt. You think somebody gonna take anything from a doubt? Well, let's say, we give an example. Let's say you're driving, and you get lost. And you really, man, you got 10 minutes to make it to that appointment. That appointment is very important for you. You're in town, but you don't even know where you were. You don't want to just experiment because you don't have, you're running out of time. You stopped and you asked this person. And you tell him, hey, how can I get to this? And then he said to you, oh, you want to get this? What do you do? You move on. You ask somebody else. But who usually ask?
People of knowledge.
People of knowledge of that area. Who are they, for instance? The police. If you see police officer, then you stop to him and ask him. A mailman, railroad, a taxi driver, a cab driver. These are the people. These are people that they know. You know, you see a cab driver, then that's their job, man. Unless you get with someone who just started the morning, there's another problem. But usually they know. A mailman, hey, how you doing, man? Can I get? Oh yeah, those people, they're gonna tell you what? What do they tell you? This. Make this right, first light, make left, go to stop signs. It's on your right.
Certainty.
Right or wrong? Certainty. They know it. Sometimes these people, what they do beside this? What they do? They do something better. What is it?
Follow me.
Yes. They take you by the hand, man. Until the door. Well, that's what we need to do. You speak with knowledge. Do it this way, this way, this way. But it's better. Come here, I show you how you do. Or you can tell somebody, oh, you want to make know how to make wudu? Come here. Do this and this and this. But it's better if you say, come here, brother, with me. Look, we're going to do it together. Bismillah. Wash your hands 3 times. So when a person, now he has the knowledge and he has the application of the knowledge. All right? And that give that person what?
Peace
and comfort to accept it. Even if somebody tell you, make right, make left, you may, while you're driving, you're like, did he say right or left? Oh, he say right. Especially if you have another person with you. And he says, The other person, he don't even know. He said, make left. Then you're like, I thought he said right. Listen, man, I know what I heard. I said left, and now go back to the same thing, right or wrong? That's why it's better. يُحْفَظُ الْعِلْمُ بِالْكِتَابَةِ. You write it down. If somebody said to you and you write it down, you don't have to ask somebody else. But it's in front of you. طيب. نعم, what else, Yaquan? Sheikh mentioned seven. One man mentioned seven benefits. We're here. How many people? Alhamdulillah. نعم.
That we're commanded to call the people to
read. نعم. What else?
Last one of Allah that commanded Rasulullah to call people to La ilaha illallah, and also the people that follow Rasulullah should call people to Tawheed with based on knowledge.
With?
Based on evidence.
Nah.
You say don't keep it to yourself if you know a lot about it. Don't keep it to yourself.
Say that again?
The knowledge to
yourself. I know. Yes, that a person should not just like be me, that said I'm okay, I'm on Tawheed. What about the people around you? It's like, so you know, shirk lead to the Jahannam, to the hellfire. Like Sheikh Muhammad Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah, hafidahullah. La al-Aqil, Sheikh Muhammad Abdul Wahhab al-Aqil, hafidahullah. He says, man, look, the true Salafi, man, the one who's on the sunnah and sincere, if he learns something, he'll make effort to call his family, especially those who are not upon the Islam, if they're upon shirk, because he knows if they die upon that way, that leads to the hellfire. He says, how a person can go to sleep knowing that his mother, his father, grandmother, if they die upon shirk, they go into the hellfire. He said, how can a person really get a sound sleep and enjoy his food, knowing that his mother, she's upon the path of destruction, وَلَيَادُ بِاللَّهِ. And he gave an example. He says, can you imagine a brother driving and passing by his grandmother's house or his mother's house or his father's house, and he's on fire. That person, they just go and ignore it, keep moving, and go to sleep and enjoy his dinner? I'm asking him. No. What usually person do? He's going to stop and check, make sure, where's my grandmother? If they said to him, grandmother? They told us nobody lived there. Nobody lived there. My grandmother, my two nieces, man. Now the police, they're trying to keep him away. What he does? What does he do? I'm asking you. He's going to fight and resist. Why? Because he's showing off? He want to be on the camera? No, he loves his grandmother. Does he want his grandmother to be burnt inside the house?
No.
What's the same thing? The person should fight constantly. And if anything, they're going to keep him away. Don't talk to her. No, he's going to fight it. Going to try my best. Because that person is only trying. He may get into the house or he may not get it. The grandmother may come out or she may not come out of it. It's not up to him. But he's making an effort. And that's all what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us. And he's making an effort based on what?
Based on knowledge.
He see the fire. This is not somebody who is just making up stuff. The grandmother, she sleep at 1 o'clock in the morning, no fire. And he's like, my grandmother, I'm going to get you out. Why, son? Just in case the fire. No, this is not how it works. Just in case this house sit on a fire. And you gotta be sure and certain, call them to Islam, to the Tawheed. Now, may Allah guide those members who are not in Islam to Islam.
Ameen. Just briefly say, grandmother. My grandmother, she's 89. She took Shahada, alhamdulillah. But she lives with my sister in Philadelphia. My sister's not, she's not Muslim.
No.
What is it that I could do to benefit her more,
and,
you know, she don't pray and stuff like that.
The brother, Hafidah Allah, says, since we mentioned the example of grandmother, he says his grandmother, she's 89 years old, in Philadelphia and she accepted Islam, alhamdulillah. She took Shahada. However, she lives with his sister, that she's not Muslims yet. May Allah grant her tawfiq, ameen, and guide her heart to Islam.
Ameen.
He said, what should he do? You should do your best to try to stay in contact with her. Okay? Like, mashallah, you're here in Georgia, but if you can go and visit, mashallah, you visit and spend time with her, your grandmother. It depends on her condition. If she still, mashallah, can go out, nice, you go with her. Take her out to eat. Go with her for a walk in a park. Okay? In the mornings, of course, the older people, they like that, early in the morning. And this is good for us. After Fajr, alhamdulillah, you go and walk with her. Especially because it's still nice, it's not too hot. Take her to get some nice breakfast. Alhamdulillah. Give her a gift. And tell her this is from Islam, alhamdulillah. Islam commands us to do this, and Islam is the religion of this, this. Alhamdulillah. And if you're not there, phone calls, text message, send her a letter. They like, the older people, they like letters. You know, because remember now, they're not into, many of them, they're not into technology. Okay, they still love to receive a letter, so we write them. You don't have to write a long letter. If you just write, hey, grandma, salamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, and you see, remember as we talked on the phone, this means this and this, and this is the greetings of the people of Jannah and this. I love you, grandmother, and never forget what you've done for me when I was little. Now I'm just trying to be the righteous and the good grandchild or something, you know. I'm not going to be able to do what you did for me because you did it when I was helpless. Stuff like this. To make her feel like, alhamdulillah. And then you talk to her about Islam and this and that. A little bit, you got to build it up. You want to build a house, you know, just bring a house and bring it there. Man, you got to start foundation, then the pillars, then this, then windows, then the first floor, then you finish from this to go to this. Okay? May Allah grant us firmness. Ameen. Tayyib, number one.
Good advice.
Okay. Yeah.
Excellent advice.
Jazakallah khair. Barakallah feek. Number one. أن الدعوة إلى شهادة أن لا إله إلا الله هي طريقة الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم وأتباعه. Calling to التوحيد so that the people say لا إله إلا الله and act upon it. Not enough to just say la ilaha illallah. To act upon it means to be upon tawheed. This is the way of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his followers. They call the people to tawheed. Because without tawheed there is nothing, ikhwan. Now you gotta pray. You gotta fast. Some people they be telling their family members, gotta come to the masjid and pray. Men still say Jesus is the Lord. What that prayer gonna benefit them? When Ramadan comes, somebody say, "You listen, you should fast." Okay, what are they gonna, if they fast the whole Ramadan, is it gonna benefit them? It's not gonna benefit them. If they stay upon shirk. No, it's just started with the tawheed. Tell them, listen, the tawheed. And it's easy, alhamdulillah. Tell them you worship Allah one instead of worshiping many. Instead of worshiping the sun, you worship based on, quote unquote, based on their understanding. You know, we know there is no such thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from what they associate and ascribe to Him. But just tell them, listen, just in case. Hamukallah. Tell them this is a man has a dealer, you know, a car dealer. Huh? This guy. And you want to buy a car. Who you go and talk to for a deal? The father or the son? You go to the father. That's his money. That's his property. He's the one who knows how much he bought that car for. Okay? I'm just giving this as an example. You go to him. Because he's the one who can give you a deal. But then with this, you tell them, look, this is only in this dunya. But this doesn't apply on the the Lord of the universe. When you give him example like that and tell them, this doesn't apply. God has no sons. And even if he wants sons, why he has only one? Look at you, grandma, how many children you have? I got 9 children. See, my grandma, come on, man. All you have these 9 children, what? In 60 years or in 90 years of years? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all these years, one son? Come on, guys, it's not even just. That's if Allah has son. Alright? Subhanallah. So you talk to the people according to their intellects, as long as you don't jam it up. As long as you use your intellect to approve what they are upon. And you tell them, no, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't need sons. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to take sons, nobody can tell him no, not to. And if Allah wants to take sons, he takes more if he wants. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, he's in no need for that. He's no need for children. And Shaykh al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala, he said especially that the son takes on the attributes of the father. Right or wrong? He looks like the father. He has the same ability as the father. Look at the baby of a monkey. What the baby do? Huh?
Same thing as the father.
He jumps, what? From a tree to a tree, right? Does elephant jump from a tree to a tree? He follows what the elephant do, right or wrong? A bird, the baby bird, what does it do?
Try to fly.
Why? Because the mother and the father do. That's what they do. They fly. So the Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen, he says, the son usually take on the traits of the father. But now they say Isa is the father. What do you mean? He's the son. Some they say even he's God. La ilaha illallah. La hawla. Shaykh al-Islam Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, when he refuted the belief of the Christians based on proofs, and he mentioned they say that he is the son of God because he said in the Bible, I am the son of God, something like that. Well, he said to them, well, wait a minute, well, in other places in your Bible he says you are the children of God. No, he says because he said to them, I am going to my father. And then in other places he says we all go into our fathers. So he says, so all of you are son of children, meaning you all are gods too. And that's what people think. They think they are gods. They like they can do whatever they want to do. Yadu billah. So anyway, this bab of da'wah is, subhanAllah, it's amazing. One of the things Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, along with having knowledge, patience too. Because people, they're going to throw stuff at you. You want to fight now? You're a doctor or you're a nurse and you're trying to change a band-aid. You know the band-aid? But it's painful, akhi. Somebody hairy. You have a band-aid on his chest, but it's hairy, akhi, you know. And now, you're just going to go like this and snatch it. That's painful, right? You may pull out stitches. And then that person, in the pain, what that person may do? May react and curse you, curse the nurse, or what? Throw a jab or whatever. Punch in the face. Now you have blood in your nose. What do? You're the nurse. What you do?
Hit him back.
Hit him back? Man, you lose your license. Hit him back. Now you can't hit him back. Right or wrong? What you do? You be patient. You take the punch. You take it. Why? Because they told you that. In your job, they told you, listen, you're a nurse now, okay? People are going to come. Not everybody going to thank you for what you're doing. People are going to curse you off. People are going to say, you're not doing it right. It's a lot of stuff, crazy stuff, but you're not there for that. You're here to get the paycheck, get the job done right.
as we taught you, so that's what you're going to get, the right paycheck. Otherwise, you'll be in your own. Likewise in the da'wah, ikhwan. You're doing it for who? For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you're doing it following the way of who? The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You think now in the seerah classes we're taking and the knowledge you received so far from our scholars, whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam won't give da'wah, have roses and red carpet, right? Huh? And people nice to him and they slaughter lambs and because the alhamdulillah, you can, what is it, tawheed? Allahu Akbar, wait a minute, all of us, that's how it happened? Huh? Give him gifts. Huh? That's how it happened? No, it's not how it happened. Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, subhanAllah, the road and the path according to this, it was subhanAllah. But what did the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam react? Patience. All of this so that those amongst us who wants to call to Allah have patience. Not like one brother. See, this brother, because he was asking the Sheikh this question on the ilm online. He said this brother, he was talking to his family members, maybe his parents, grandparents, whatever. His father, actually. And then as soon as his father said something, I don't know, he told him, don't talk to him about this nonsense. He said to him, you're nothing but a stinky kafir, man. You're going to burn in the hellfire. This is da'wah. This is not right. Gotta be patient. That's why those who are not ready, get out of the way, man. Get out of the way until you're ready. Sit on the bench and observe how other people are doing it right. Not just gonna jump in on the pitch and you don't even know where you are, what you're doing, where you start. Now you wanna sit down and learn. May Allah grant us tawfiq, ameen. And knowledge. طيب. Number two, أنه يجب على الداعية أن يكون عالما بما يدعو إليه عالما بما ينهى عنه. The Sheikh says it is obligatory upon the caller to have knowledge of what he's calling to and knowledge of the things he tells the people, now this is no good. Because now when you're going to talk to people, he says, now you do this, but you don't do this. So he has to have knowledge of both. You got to call people, call them to that what is right. You got to prohibit people, you should prohibit them from that which is wrong. Number three, التنبيه على الإخلاص في الدعوة بأن لا يكون للداعية مقصد سوى وجه الله. الله أكبر. It's very important. He says also, this ayah remind us about ikhlas, sincerity, while giving da'wah. And may Allah grant us ikhlas, ameen. That the da'i should have no other motive, or purpose, or goal, except to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's what makes the difference. And that we hear this, the ulama, Allah, he says, subhanAllah, because you know the ikhlas is in the heart, is the action of the heart. Nobody can go to somebody straight in his face and say, man, you know, no, what you just did is for riya, a'udhu billah. You know? The ulama, they said, subhanAllah, look at, you know the da'wah of a person, if he's sincere, doesn't matter how people said about that person, doesn't matter how this and this, but Allah give tawfiq and grant victory to that person over his opponents, doesn't matter how long the battle may take. Nah. They warn against him, he's no bad, he's this, he's that. But look, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give him tawfiq in his da'wah. Look at Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad Abdul Wahhab. If you read his biography in his time, they were fighting him, want to kill him and this and this. But now, 200 years after his death, what is his book said? I'm asking you, where? We're right there in Stone Mountain, Georgia now. This certainty, we're talking about certain knowledge. Look, we're studying his book where? In America, man. This man, maybe he never came here, I can't say, but Allahu A'lam, maybe never came in America. His books in Russia. Hey, Naam. His books in China, Japan, Malaysia, Indonesia, Australia, New Zealand. His books in Italy, in Hungary, in Romania, in Greece, in Germany, in Sweden, Denmark, Finland, Norway, in Ireland, in the UK, in France, Switzerland, Belgium, Luxembourg, Netherlands, Spain, Portugal. Man, his books in Africa, his books in South America, translated to Spanish, brothers, hermanos. Telling you, man, his books in North America, in Canada, in Alaska, man. People in minus 30 and they study in Kitab al-Tawheed. Talking about Tawfiq. Sheikh bin Baz, too. Sheikh bin Baz, many mashayikh. Ikhlas is very important. You do it for Allah and you're rewarded by Allah. So you continue. The reward is great from Allah. Doesn't matter, people say you're this, you're that, he's that. Some people, akhi, they just have jealousy. Because of their ignorance. Look, we're talking about again. Because if they have some knowledge, alhamdulillah, and they have certainty, and they have ikhlas themselves, they will support you. They will like, no, that's one of us. Let's help him. Let's support him. But if somebody is into the da'wah for money, or for glory, or for fame, well, you know how it is. Those are games of the streets. Somebody wants to be the only one in the block, right or wrong. You help me out with that one. I don't know, man. You know how those thugs, you know? They were only one guy, one big guy, right or wrong. When he hears somebody starting something, what they do? Yeah, he want to shut him down. No, you can't, man. I'm here. This section of the town is mafias. It's a gang. That's how gangs are. There is no gangs in Islam. If we hear that there is this brother, alhamdulillah, from his da'wah, is alhamdulillah, Allahu a'lam what's in his heart. But he shows us that he's upon the da'wah of the Prophet, his companions and followers. We support that brother. But some people be talking against, we want to bring him down. For what? Why, he has more followers, he has this. Come on, Akhi. Why want more followers? We want more people that have that upon the sunnah and the light. So why the ikhlas? أَلَّا يَقْصِدُ بِذَلِكَ تَحْصِيلَ مَالٍ أَوْ رِئَاسَ أَوْ مَدْحٍ مِنَ النَّاسِ أَوْ دَعْوَةٍ إِلَى حِزْبٍ أَوْ مَذْهَبٍ. The Shaykh says, Naam, when a person called the people to Allah, he do it for this reason. Ikhlas, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's not doing it for money, or he's doing it for position, leadership. He wants to be above the people. Everybody turn to him. Or for praise. People talk good about him. Or he's doing it for a hizb, or for a party, or for a madhab and the like. Keep in mind, Shaykh al-Albani, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, money, this still doesn't interfere with the da'i, who he may be paid by a community or by a government, like in other Muslim countries, like in Saudi, for example. MashaAllah, they pay the du'as. They have positions, they teach. He says that doesn't interfere with that, because the ikhlas has to do with is an action of the heart. Yes, a person may be on payroll, may be paid, but as long as that person says, listen, man, I'm just doing this because I live in this area, you have to pay your rent, you have to survive. But he's doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a person, if he's just doing it for that, man, they give me, I'll do it, they don't give me, they're on their own, that's a big problem. The da'wah is not going to go nowhere if we have that mentality. A person should do it for the sake of Allah, and should not burden the people. Like a da'i or an imam of a Salafi masjid, no, wait a minute. In the contract, 6 months deliberation. Nah. 6 months mini meetings. Now, wait a minute. What's the contract? 10 pages. Huh? No. That's what you want to give me? And you want me to give 5 classes? Oh, come on, no. 2 classes. You want to give another class? You're going to put another $100 in there. This is no good. This is not from the da'wah. الداعي الحمد لله he say bismillah يتوكل على الله. The last thing on his mind and his agenda is money. Now, and the people also, our ulama, they says that the people who they want to hire an imam of a masjid or a da'i, they want to like see, they offer him something, but they keep in mind that's enough for him, inshallah ta'ala. Not to make him rich, that's enough. They're like, okay, he has a family or he's a single. Of course, a single person, he's not going to be like renting 4 bedrooms apartment. What are you going to do with 4 bedrooms apartment? 1 bedroom apartment, and you know, that's the price of it, $600, $500. Okay, another $100 for the bills. Alhamdulillah, that's $600 now. How much money he needs for this? Didn't they offer him something? Okay, we can start you with $1,500 a month, inshallah. And that's good. And he start calling to Allah, the da'wah and this. He doesn't care about the money. But for a person to sit, now you give me this, I do this. You don't give me, other people give me more. This is very bad for the da'i. For the da'i to get himself in this. And we human, akhwan. May Allah protect us.
Amen.
May Allah protect us and our brothers who are calling for to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because we're brothers in this one, man. May Allah protect us, because money is dangerous. Allah warned us against the dunya, man. Now you gotta be contempt. Because actually, who gives?
Allah.
He's Allah, man. These people give you nothing, man. Allah who gives. If Allah wants more than you, those people, they next month they're gonna say, oh, we alhamdulillah, we have a raise. And it happens to some of the du'as. Wallahi, it happened, ikhwan. It happens that a brother, he has a little paycheck, but there is barakah in it. A lot of barakah. MashaAllah, never complain. Nothing. And you find that brother that day, he's giving sadaqah. He's inviting people to eat. And you'll be like, subhanAllah, that brother must be making a lot of money. That's how certain people, they go wrong. Oh man, I want to be like him, man. Maybe they're giving him a big paycheck and they keep running their mouths and backbiting and eating the flesh and talking until after maybe a year, 2, 3 years, maybe more, after all this talk and this trash, they find out that this brother, how much he was making a month? $1,000? How person with all his family, how are you going to do with $4,000? How are you going to do? It's the heart, man. It's not the money. It's not the money, it's the heart, the condition of the heart. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from it. Number 4, أن البصيرة فريدة لأن اتباعه صلى الله عليه وسلم واجب ولا يتحقق اتباعه إلا بالبصيرة وهي العلم واليقين. بصيرة, which is here, knowledge with certainty, is obligatory for a person to have. Because you want to follow the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, you're going to do it the way he did it. So we learn from here that no heroes in the da'wah. Alright? Can't just like be talking. Say Allahu A'lam, ya akhi. Say, okay, brother, give me your phone number and your name. What is the question again? Write it down. And go to somebody and ask. And then call the brother. Salaamu alaykum, akhi. Listen, mashallah, I ask somebody, here is the answer. And also the brother give me a reference. Huh? Here is a book. Or go to the internet, put this. Alhamdulillah, you will find a detailed answer in there. Allahu Akbar. Number 5, حسن التوحيد لأنه تنزيه لله تعالى. Also this ayah display the beauty of tawheed. Because tawheed glorify is a glorification of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number 6, قبح الشرك لأنه مسبب لله تعالى. Likewise, shirk is ugly. Despicable. Evil. Because it's an insult towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If somebody is insulting your father and your mother, you don't like it, right or wrong? Huh? But now people insulting the Creator and still like we're okay with it, it's like nothing. That's an insult, walayadu billah. But if somebody insults me or insults my mother, oh, I'm ready to fight. I can't talk to that person. I can't even sit next to him. But there are people insulting Allah, the Creator, by ascribing partners to Him, and this and this and that. Now we should feel something in our hearts towards that. Number 7, وجوب ابتعاد المسلم عن المشركين. لا يصير منهم في شيء فلا يكفي أنه لا يشرك. The last thing, and we conclude with this, barakallahu fikum, it is obligatory upon the Muslim to distance himself and stay away from the polytheists. He doesn't be one of them, mix with them. Yeah. He doesn't mix with them in anything. It's not enough that he doesn't be a mushrik. It's not enough that a person is not a polytheist. But he should stay away from the polytheists as well. Don't mix with them. Don't be with them when they do their shirk and all these things. Don't get involved with what they say and what they do. But call them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be kind to them. As family members, you be kind to them, you check on them, you help them out in the times of need, you try to pay their rents for them. Sheikh Muhammad Abdul Wahab Al-Aqil, Hafidhahu Ta'ala, says, how you call your family to Islam, for example, your parents? It's not just, listen, you can, it's not like just giving lectures after lectures. Da'wah is actions too. It's by example. You being kind to them, being nice to them, being gentle with them, being easy with them, being patient with them. Spend time with them. Spend on them. Not just the time. Spend time with them and spend your wealth on them. That's how you're going to give them da'wah. When you see that your father or your mother, they're struggling to pay rent, and you have money, or you may not even have it. That's why you don't have money, but you have tawakkul on Allah. You have your brothers. And you go to a couple of brothers and say, listen, man, help me out, man, because it's my mother, man. I don't want to see my mother in the street. But also you're doing it for the purpose of da'wah. And then your brothers, they help you, and you pay like 2-3 months. You go to the landlord, hey, listen, this is an apartment, so and so. That's my mother. That's a da'wah for them too. They look at you coming with a kufi, with a beard, and with a thawb, or the sister, she walk over there with a niqab and a khimar. And she's like, she's talking to a kafir lady or whatever. She's like, listen, you know Miss Jones? Oh, 207A. Yes, yes, yes. Okay, I'm paying 3 months on her rent. Can I do that? Oh, absolutely, yeah. Okay. 6 months? Anything. You want to pay for the next 3 years? No problem with that. Okay. By the way, who are you? I'm her sister. I'm her daughter. I'm her son. That's a da'wah. That's a da'wah. If we all Muslims do that, man, that's a da'wah for non-Muslims. Now when your mother or grandmother know that, subhanAllah, now she's worried. Huh? She's worried about rent. How is she going to pay the rent? She receive because these people, they do it. She receive a letter, right? Miss Jones, congratulations. Your rent has paid for the next 3 months. She's I'm afraid for the grandma. She may get a heart attack. You know? And then she's be happy. Whoa, what do you mean? The first thing comes to her mind, maybe I've been here for years, 27 years, maybe they give me some something. Yeah, right. The Prophet tells us, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, those the human being, if they have a valley of gold, what they want? What? They want another one. These are what these people, they're in their money. So when she find out that you did it, you the Muslim, subhanAllah, it means a lot. It means a lot. When a mailman comes and drops something in her hand, your grandmother, and she always receives bills, this, social security changing, they give them warning and warning, give them the heart attacks, man signs. They be missing with them. We're just updating you. Maybe you may lose your benefits. Maybe. But then she's received that letter from her grandson. Hey, grandma, sorry, I supposed to check on you more often, but I love you. Hey, what you doing next Tuesday? I know this restaurant is a nice place. If you can, let me know. Allah, she'll be happy. That'll make her day. All right? Or you come and help her out, akhi. She has the grass, you go and do the grass. You cut the grass before you cut your own grass. You live in an area when it snows, as soon as you hear it's going to snow, you go to the Home Depot and get the salt. You know the salt for snow? Because you get your guys in the south, you don't even know. Maybe you say salt or sugar. What are you talking? Why salt? Why not sugar? Now this is like salt for the snow. All right? It's nice. So before you put your salt on your door, by your porch, you gotta go to the grandmother first. And if a grandma has a neighbor that she care about, an old lady too, an old man, you do that too. And you say, "Grandma, I'm doing it because they're not my family, but they're your friends." And in Islam, it tells us that a part of taking care of your family, taking care of their friends too. SubhanAllah. This is the da'wah. That's what the Shaykh was saying. But just tell them, do this and do this, but you're not doing none of what you tell them to do. You don't have no time to spend with them. No money, nothing, no good words. Oh, that's a problem. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us better. Ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. May Allah grant us ikhlas. And may Allah keep us firm upon this beautiful deen of Islam. May Allah guide our family members who are not yet upon the path. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open their hearts for Islam. Ameen. Subhanakallahu wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.